And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Go.
How's your week been, Brayden?
Oh, it's been pretty good. I'm just surviving the cold, the school, but it ain't gonna hold me down, you know? How are you doing?
This is back-to-back weeks with snow a Saturday morning. It's kind of fun to wake up to, like, open your window. It's all white out there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the wildfires in California, I'm kind of glad we're getting some moisture, so we don't have that this summer. We definitely need it, so.
Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah, well, we got a great episode coming today. We're getting pretty close to the All-Star break, so we're kind of getting ready for some of those All-Star things. We had the All-Star starters revealed we'll talk about. The Jazz had two games last week that we'll go ahead and review and talk about, an overtime thriller and then a game against the Thunder. And then we'll give you our predictions for the next four games this week. It's a busy week for the Jazz. And then we'll give you some news around the Jazz, around the NBA. We have a special draft spotlight that we're going to do today. So stay tuned in at the end of the episode for that. And then we'll get into some local sports.
Yeah, don't forget to check us out. Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. You can find all our episodes, past and present. We have some really awesome episodes in the last couple of weeks. You want to check those out. You can also find us out on Instagram, at Tuned In Jazz, on all of those platforms. And this is episode 59 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, we had a pretty good week for our predictions. Not gonna lie.
We did. Yeah, no movement on our tracker though. We're both about the same, but we both predicted pretty accurately. Fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, depending on who you ask, I guess.
True. I'll be honest. I didn't expect to win this week, and we didn't get a win.
Nope.
That's okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Keeping on the tank.
Yeah, we really needed to lose against the Pelicans, as weird as it sounds. And that's what we did. So, take that.
Yeah, that's actually back-to-back losses against the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
Both very high-scoring games, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any overtime games for the Jazz for the first, like, 3 or 4 months of basketball.
Yeah.
And within a week, we have two overtime games, which is pretty crazy. We had the Brooklyn Nets one. We won in overtime. Now we got a loss in overtime. But who stood out to you in this game, even though it's a loss?
Oh, man. Well, I think there were some good things happening. Jazz went up by 11. We were up 12 at halftime, or 13 maybe, counting right. But yeah, just I think... Keontae and Isaiah Collier kind of carried the load for us. 23 and 7 for Keontae, 20 and 11 for Isaiah. Just our guards were just playing the field. And I thought they looked really good, honestly.
Yeah, also shout out, this is probably a career high for Kyle. 17 rebounds for Kyle Filipowski.
Oh, yeah.
What a beast. And he played 38 minutes, too. So this is like...
Yeah.
That's this killer. Is that point in the season where Danny Ainge is like, hey, you got to play these guys.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. I know last year we were talking all the time about Taylor Hendricks not getting as enough minutes. We wish he got more. This year, Kyle Filipowski, there's nothing to complain about. He's getting lots of minutes. No longer in the G League. So 38 minutes is great for him. He had a good game.
Yeah. And honestly, even though Isaiah Collier's looked really nice the last month or so, but I think Kyle Filipowski's still been our best rookie so far this year, my opinion. Just like consistently like plays. He looks like an NBA player. He can guard, he can score decently. But we'll see. Isaiah Collier's playing really well, so I guess we'll see what happens at the end of the season. But
I would say that Kyle Filipowski's had a better first half of the season, but I would argue Isaiah Collier might have had a better second half or recent part of the season.
That's fair.
So it's kind of a close race for me. So I want to see who has the best ending to the season, and that will kind of give me a picture because they're kind of about the same for me right now.
Yes, and I'm praying that Cody Williams proves us wrong and he takes that, but it's probably that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Unfortunately. We're cheering for you, Cody, but it's getting hard.
Yeah, it is.
We need a little bit more, but at least he did play a lot of minutes this game as well. Yeah. He had 20, just 2 points, but he's playing and he's getting that experience. So hopefully little by little, he'll get that.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of a tough loss.
Speaking of Cody, though, went out and played his brother. I don't know if you saw his mom and dad had like the
split jerseys.
Yep, split jerseys. That's pretty sweet.
That's hype, yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of fun. They got to play each other, but of course we took the L this game.
Yeah, always kind of expected. Yeah, Jazz lose by 9. Who stood out to you this game?
Well, I guess we can't really say much about this game without first just pointing out that Shea gave us 54.
Yeah, it's like, insane.
Let's forget wild. About that.
Honestly,
yeah, no, Shea just gave us the work. We kept fouling him over and over. We just couldn't stop the man.
Yeah, he took 18 free throws. That's wild.
I know. I know you have him on your fantasy team, so when you were watching this game, did you root for Shea or were you rooting for the Jazz?
Oh, man. Well, low-key, you know, I root for my fantasy team right now because, I mean, I was rooting for the Jazz to lose because that's what we're trying to do, right? So... It's
so it works out.
For me.
It works out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that was insane. I think if you look back, he beat the Cavaliers recently. Like, he's kind of faced up against Jokic and some other, like, MVP candidates. And he's, like, holding his own. So I think right now, for a lot of people, at least in, like, the media, Shea is, like, the lead MVP vote, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Would you say he's your MVP right now?
I think so. I still think it's close between him and Jokic because Jokic is still just doing crazy stuff. It's just hard to go against either of those guys. Maybe they can do co-MVPs this year or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's that's lame.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know if they would, but I don't know. Voter fatigue might give it to SGA. That might give him a little bit of an edge this year, so we'll see what happens.
I also think you can't leave out my boy Giannis. Like, he's averaging more points than anyone else, and like
that's true.
He literally carries that team, him and Dame. Yeah. So
Giannis is like the poster child for voter fatigue. Like, he was like the guy, and then all of a sudden everybody just forgot about him because there was like a new exciting group of players, and Giannis is just consistently like dominant. So I totally agree with that.
And I think if it's like purely based on like, hey, how bad is the team when they're off the court and how good are they when they're on the court? Jokic would probably win it like the rest of his career because he's that good.
That's true.
But
yeah, it's true.
I'm kind of with the voter fatigue a little bit. I'd probably have Shea as my MVP for right now just because of how good their team is too.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, they gave us the work this game. It was tough.
Yeah, I think the only bright spots I can find, I think John Collins and Walker Kessler both had decent games. I mean... I don't know, 22 and 12 for John Collins, 17 and 15 for Walker, 2 blocks. Other than that, though, I mean, even Isaiah Collier was minus 20 on the floor, only had 2 assists.
He was probably there for some of those Shea points, right?
Yeah, he probably was. He's getting cooked. Keontae was 3 for 11 on the floor. Just a rough, rough game. But it was to be expected, I suppose.
But we made it through. We don't have to. I think we still do have to play the Thunder one more time in OKC because I think that was our first time going out there. So I guess we'll see him again. But it was a decent game. Good to see, even if we're getting blown out, good to see at least good basketball happening.
Yeah,
even if it's
absolutely
on the other team. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to our player of the week, my week to decide. And I don't know. This was a tough one for me. But I had to go with my boy Walker Kessler.
Let's go.
There was some good games. Like, Isaiah Collier and Keontae had really good games the first game. But just consistency-wise, Walker was 19 and 13 in our first game, 17 and 15 in our second. He's quickly becoming, like, a pretty dominant player. Like, those are not, like, just role player numbers. Like, if he becomes, like, a 20 and 15 guy or 20 and 12 guy, that's, like, you're talking about all-star conversations there, you know? So,
I mean, Evan Mobley's in all-star conversations. He's averaging like 18 and 11 or 18 and 12 or something.
Yeah, Absolutely. And he doesn't get nearly as many blocks as Walker does. So it's getting to a point where it's kind of exciting with Walker. I hope people are appreciating what we have because he's playing really well right now. It's good basketball.
Yeah, just to point out as well, we've given a player of the week at almost every week of the season. After that, Walker Kessler ties John Collins for the most player of the week so far.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So they both have three, and then nobody else has more than one. So they've been arguably our two best players this season. And of course, we could give it to Laurie a little bit more than we do, but we try and give it to a guy that is kind of performing above their expectation, right?
Yeah. I also feel like Lowry hasn't played. I think we've raised the bar a little on Lowry because we paid him so much money.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little unfair because we're moving the goalpost, but it's also I don't know if he's played to the level of what we're expecting yet, but he's definitely a special player.
It's harder to, we love Lowry, and Lowry arguably has been our best player as well. But you're right. It's just the bar is so high for him because he's been so good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if anything, I'm sure Laurie loves that competition, right? He wants to have that bar high for himself because I know that he's a very competitive player, right? So,
absolutely.
But good job, Walker Kessler. Great week this week. What a guy.
Well, we have four games coming up this week. Kind of a weird week. We go to Memphis, then back home, then to Golden State, then back home. It's kind of a weird setup this week. But we start tonight, actually, in Memphis at the Grizzlies. What are you feeling about our chances against Ja and them boys?
Yeah, I know the Grizzlies have been going through a lot of injuries. So, I don't know. I'm going to look up their injury report real quick. It looks like they have Ja as still out, I'm pretty sure. Marcus Smart is I don't know. They've had a lot of injuries kind of come and go throughout the year or the month of January. So it's kind of hard to tell how many people they'll have. I guess I still think the Grizzlies are hooping. Even if Ja's out, even if Marcus Smart's out, their backup guys have been really good. They have Scottie Pippen Jr.'s just all of a sudden been really good for them.
Yeah,
Santi Aldama, their rookie. Jalen Wells, I don't know if you've heard him, but he picks up guys full court for entire games.
Yeah.
And he's been one of the best defenders in the league right now as a rookie. So even though the Grizzlies are kind of banged up, they're a deep team. So I'm going to go with them. I'm going to say Grizzlies win by 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could agree with you. I think, we're just kind of, especially on the road, I'm going to say Jazz lose by 4 or Grizzlies win by 4. I think even if Jazz not playing, I think you're right. They just got shooters all around the floor. I think that last loss was a little rough for us too, so it might be tough coming off of that. And it's a weird break we had, so I'm going to say Jazz lose by 4.
Not bad. And then Monday versus the Bucks, come back to Delta Center. I'll actually be at this game.
Oh, for real? Let's go.
So, I know if I couldn't root for the Jazz, it'd be the Bucks. So, that's one of the games I'm excited for. Who do you got in this game? The Bucks are a tough team, right?
Yeah, I think Jazz lose by 8 this one. As much as I'd love to give the Jazz the nod, we're just, we talk about it every week. We're just plugging along on the tank train. So, pretty easy pick.
I don't mind it. Honestly, your predictions have been so spot on. Maybe I should just copy you, but I'm going to go with Jazz lose by 4. I think they're going to keep it close.
Okay.
And Bucks will pull away at the end.
Okay. Fair enough. Then we go to Golden State, play the Warriors. I feel like this one's always kind of a wild card. Warriors show up some nights, other nights they look just horrible. What Warriors are we going to get, do you think, on Tuesday?
I've been wondering that for the Warriors this season because, there's been some spurts, the beginning of the season where people were like, dang, the Warriors are here. Buddy Hield's better than Klay Thompson and all that, right?
Yeah.
That has definitely changed.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a closer game, but I still think the Warriors will take it because the Jazz are on the road on a second half of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
So I'll take Warriors by 6.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it'll be close. I'm going to say Warriors by 2. I was reading my thing wrong. I'm going to say Jazz by 2, actually. I think Jazz will catch a surprise win. I know it's on the road, but I don't know. It's just maybe Draymond will get a technical and get ejected, and we'll just, you know, I don't know. I think Jazz could win by 2.
Yeah, and I mean, the Warriors are 11th in the West right now.
Yeah.
They're not completely great. At 500.
Not great. And we want to get a win every once in a while, so I would love to see it be against the Warriors, because why not?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and then our last game at home again on Thursday versus the Timberwolves. I don't know if you realize 4 former Jazz players on the Timberwolves between
it's pretty wild.
Conley, Gobert, Ingles, and Alexander Walker, right?
Yeah.
So it's Jazz versus Jazz in a way. Who do you got in that one?
I say this one's going to be a blowout, I think. I think Timberwolves by 12. I mean, if that's a blowout, maybe it's not as much of a blowout, but yeah, I think it could be a tough match, especially Minnesota seems like they're pretty healthy right now. 4 games this week is pretty, that's kind of a lot, especially coming off like road trips and things. So I think Jazz could struggle in this one.
That's fair. That's fair. This is like my wild card game of the week. Because there's definitely been a lot of times during the season where the Jazz are proving us wrong. Like, we're kind of confused. Good. Like, dang, how did you win that game? So this is going to be a wild card game for me. I'm going to say the Jazz win by 5 against the Timberwolves. Okay. So I think...
That's fair. I can see it.
Timberwolves haven't been as good as they were last year. They've kind of dropped a little bit. They totally lost the Karl-Anthony Towns trade as of right now.
Yeah,
Julius Randle hasn't been as good. And I think we actually do match up pretty good against them because we rebound the ball really well.
Absolutely.
They also rebound the ball pretty well. So I think we can compete against them. I don't know. The only problem will be Edwards. If we can just keep him from getting 30, I think we'll be able to get the win.
That's fair, yeah. Yeah, I think we guard the perimeter decently.
It well, not like, against Shea.
That's true. Shea's kind of
but he's one of a kind.
But yeah, so I could see that. Yeah, I say we just test out the theory that everybody's been talking about, where we single out Rudy Gobert, we make him guard the perimeter, play him off the floor, as they say.
Oh no,
I don't think it's gonna happen. But
let's
test
off
the theory.
All the OG Jazz fans.
yeah. Anyways, I don't think that theory's true, but we'll test it out, see what happens.
Yeah, just get the switch and let Cody Williams cook on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's give Cody Williams the confidence. 4-time defensive player of the year, let him cook, you know? So
yeah.
See what happens.
But I guess that's our biggest difference. We'll see if they win, like I'm saying, or they might get blown out.
Yep.
Could go either way.
Yep. A little Tankathon update. Takes us to that time of our episode, I guess. I don't think we're ever going to catch Washington. They're currently on a 12-game losing streak. They've only won 6 games. But I guess it doesn't matter because we're still in the top 3 odds. We did really good this week. Jazz are second worst team in the NBA right now. So
yeah,
I guess reason to celebrate maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we lost 4 in a row, so that definitely helps. Yep. The Pelicans have actually been starting to win a lot of games because Zion's back. Yep. So we're happy about that.
Yeah. And 3 of those 4 losses were against teams that we were competing against for the lottery. So it was pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'll also kind of shout out the Hornets might catch us because I think Brandon Miller's out for the whole season. LaMelo's been in and out. So they're only like a game and a half better than us right now.
Yeah.
Watch out for them to be worse than the Jazz because I think they're not looking so good with those injuries. So.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, too, the top 6 teams are, it's other than Washington, are all like even Brooklyn's only 2.5 games. If the Jazz go on a little win streak, we could fall pretty quickly. So we got to stay sharp on our losing ways, you know?
Yeah, and I guess we don't really mention this all the time, but we do have Minnesota's pick that's slotted at 17 right now. So like projecting wise, like if I were to simulate the lottery, I'll do it right now. Ooh, mm-hmm. The Jazz dropped 3 spots. We could get like the 5th and 17th pick.
Oh, dang.
Something like that, right? So it'd be kind of similar to last year.
Yeah. I just simped too. We got the second pick.
Oh,
the
let's 17th go.
Pick, so let's go. But Chicago got number one, so that'd be kind of crazy.
Anyways. Yeah, and in mine, Portland got number one, so that's pretty crazy too.
Yeah, you never know. Lottery, you know, still only a 14% chance, which is kind of crazy. That's right. Not really that high, but the highest at least, so.
Well, yeah. That's a good week for the tank. And then also,
yes, it is.
Jazz made a huge trade this week.
Trade.
And I think Jazz fans are divided on it. I'm not going to lie. I've kind of seen some people say like we got fleeced. Some people say like we like won the trade. I'm going to say like I have no idea if we won the trade yet or not, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of thoughts about this, but maybe you could go first. I don't know what your thoughts are about if we won this trade or why did we do this?
Yeah, I just think this was a home run trade, honestly, in my opinion. I don't know if you saw it, Justin Zanuck was on the broadcast the other day, and he was talking about how the Jazz just traded three picks that couldn't be the first pick overall for one pick that could be. And
right.
He talked about how, like, you know, of course we want to take swings in the draft, but we want them to be good swings. And so I think my opinion is we're kind of at capacity with project players, and we need players that are going to help us win. And so even if it's 6 years from now, I think this is a much better, I'd rather one great player than three role players. So,
yeah. I feel that. I think I saw like a post where it showed like the Jazz picks for the next, at least now till 2031, how many we had. Pretty sure this year we have two, next year we'll have at least one or two, and 2027 we'll have two, 2029 we'll have two, and then I think we also have the Lakers pick like top five protected in 2027, so like that's a great one. And then we also got the Suns pick now, right?
Mm-hmm. And unprotected, so, too.
Unprotected. It could be number one. And I know lots of people are excited about that because Devin Booker will be 34 years old. I don't think KD will still be playing at that time. No. I think Father Time will be there, and Bradley Beal not either. And then they have no young players on their team that's promising, at least right now.
Yeah.
So,
nope.
But I'm also saying like maybe they are good at that point. Like it's so far away. You can't really know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to David Locke this week too. He was kind of breaking it down, and he was talking about the only downside being like when you get a team that trades all their picks, like Phoenix, then they don't really have incentive to lose. So like there's like a pretty low chance that they'll be tanking, you know. They'll at least be a lottery, but we'll take it, you know. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
I also think it makes me feel a little bit better because we traded those three worst picks, right? So it's between us, Timberwolves, and Cavs. I like to think between three teams, the worst pick will be like 20 to 30 is my guess. Right?
Especially and then, Cleveland. And
exactly. And then one of them's this year, and Cleveland's the best team in the league, arguably. So that pick's going to be like 29 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically giving one second round pick this year because it's very late first round, and then two picks that are like 20 to 30 for the chance at a number one pick, right? It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel a little bit better because on paper, you see like Jazz trade three first round picks for one first round pick.
Three
and
for
you're
one,
like,
yeah.
Why are we so dumb that we would do that?
Yeah.
But it's not bad. It's a much more valuable pick, consolidating our assets. So I'm all for it. I think time will tell, but I think it's a good trade right now.
Yeah. And honestly, hopefully for me, I hope that by 2031, that's like 5 or 6 seasons from now, I'm hoping that we have already built something really good, and whatever piece we get in that pick is just like the final piece, you know?
Yeah.
That would be my hope. So
hopefully it'll be like the Klay Thompson to our Steph Curry, or the Kevin Love to our LeBron, or the like the third or fourth guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I don't know. I think this could be a good deal. And Suns get their more assets to go get Jimmy Butler, whoever they're trying to get. And I think it's a win-win, honestly. So
I also want to hear your thoughts on this because like they might use our picks to get Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
What if the Jimmy trade goes through and the Suns get him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that will be better for our Suns pick in 2031? And them having Jimmy will stunt their future, or do you think that will have no change, or do you think Jazz fans should be hoping that Jimmy goes to the Suns?
I just don't foresee that it changes anything. I think it's like you were saying earlier, like even Devin Booker will be 34 by then. I think Jimmy Butler will be, I don't know how old Jimmy Butler is, but he's been around for a while. I think
he's like 34 right now, so he might be like 40.
Yeah, he's 35. He just turned 35. So yeah, he'll be 40. Yeah, it probably doesn't move the needle. I also think, I don't think that the Suns and Lakers get it, that like you can't just trade all your depth for top guys. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So I don't think it's going to work out for the Suns, but it probably won't affect 2031, maybe. I don't know. That's fair.
It is so far away. Got to remember that.
Pretty well.
Well, we also had some interesting news. Of course, last week, if you watched our episode, we predicted the entire All-Star Game roster.
Yes.
Check that out, because it still hasn't come out yet completely. But this week, we did get the starters to be revealed.
Yeah, I think you got the starters completely right, didn't you?
I think I didn't have KD.
Oh, is that right? Oh, you had Anthony Davis, right?
I think I had Wemby, actually. Either Wemby or Anthony Davis, and then I think I might have had Wemby instead of LeBron.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay.
I actually can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you were pretty close. I definitely didn't have Donovan Mitchell or Steph Curry. I think Steph Curry got a little bit of a... I mean, the All-Star game is in
There's no way he couldn't get Golden be a State, starter so. In his own town, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, we got it with Lowry, so we appreciate that, I guess. And he's a great player, so...
I'm looking at my past one. I did have Anthony Davis instead of KD. I might stick by that, because I think Anthony Davis has been really good.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
But any surprises on this for you?
I did pick Karl-Anthony Towns, but I'm kind of surprised that they actually did it. It doesn't seem like Karl-Anthony Towns gets a lot of love. But, I mean, Joel Embiid's not an all-star this year, so maybe it's just like he's just the next best. East doesn't really have a lot of good bigs right now, so.
I think the biggest surprise for me is that Wemby's not in there, because
I think he
got all the fan votes and stuff. It was just like the players or coaches or something that had him a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Possibly so, but I'm thinking it was really close, but between him and KD, he just barely didn't make it, so.
Yeah. I think that's the hard thing when you look at the Western ones, at least. Steph, KD, LeBron, you can make an argument none of those guys are top 10 in the NBA. I know that's maybe a hot take, but it's like the All-Star game's just, it's very like for show, and those guys are legends, so you don't hate on the pick because it's what we want to see, so.
I also think I think they really do rely on the fan vote a lot. So like if a guy's killing it on the fan vote, I think he'll get the love. Unfortunately, your boy LaMelo Ball did not make the starters.
Yeah.
I know some people thought he would.
Yeah, he was pretty high on the fan vote, though. I think the player vote just didn't put him up there very high. So
yep.
I could understand it, though. Jalen Brunson deserves it. Donovan Mitchell's team is killing it, so. It's understandable.
I agree. And then I guess we'll keep our eyes peeled as they release like the benches and the wild cards, right?
Yeah.
I'm really hoping. I remember last time, kind of my fringe guys. I'm really hoping make it. Really hoping Cade Cunningham makes it. I think he totally deserves it this year. And I'm really hoping J-Dub and Sabonis make it. But we'll see.
Yeah, and with our, I could see both Flip and Collier making the Rising Stars, and that's what the new format has, one Rising Stars team playing in the little format. So we could see a couple of our Jazz guys playing in the All-Star game, weirdly
enough.
Yeah,
even
so.
Keontae can still do it in year two, I think.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I guess I didn't think about that. Yeah,
Maybe even Bryce Sensabaugh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, could be
Hopefully
good.
We get at least two guys in there. I think we can.
Yeah, I think so. That'd be fun to watch.
I don't know if you saw, they released the starters on like Inside the NBA with Kenny and Chuck and Shaq.
Yeah.
But they all did their starters and bench. And
oh, really?
They were so bad at it, I feel like. Really? All of them every single one of them had at least one guy that they snubbed that was like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, some of them didn't have Giannis as a starter. I think Chuck didn't have Giannis as a starter, which is kind of crazy to me. A couple of them didn't have Towns as a starter, which is a surprise to me as well.
Yeah.
Just crazy. I think they tried. I think some of them left off Anthony Davis completely.
Yeah. So, well, that's rough.
It's funny, but yeah, but it was funny to hear them talk about it, even though I feel like they definitely snubbed some guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. How's your fantasy team doing?
Ooh, I'm up 6-3 this week, so I'm hoping to get another win. I see you're playing the number one seed this week, though.
Yeah, I am. I had a tough loss last week, and I'd lost Brandon Miller this week.
He's a good scorer too, right?
Yeah, he was. He was a sneaky pick for me, but it looks like I'm tied with the number one guy right now, 4-4-1. So,
yeah. Ooh, who did you pick up to replace Brandon Miller?
I'll be honest, I'm just now remembering that I saw Brandon Miller, so I need to go. Oh wait, no, I did move him. Who did I pick up? I picked up, I think it was Jalen Duren. Get me some more rebounds.
Let's go.
So I think I feel pretty good about that pick, actually. I needed some more size on my roster for rebounds and blocks. So,
dude, I don't know if you want to make a trade, but I'd be down to make a trade if you've got a guy that can like get steals and blocks.
I'll give you Brandon Miller and Jaden Ivey.
Oh, shoot. For your top.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Yeah. Yeah, my team's always, I think I said it last week, we never lose in rebounding because of my boy Giannis, really. Gobert, Zubac, all them. And then
heavy on that.
I recently got a guy injured, and I picked up Scottie Pippen Jr. just for one game.
Yeah,
he gave me like 10, like 12 points and 7 assists. So he's a beast.
Yeah, an animal, dude. That's crazy. So,
but anyways, it's been good. Hopefully we can climb in the standings a little bit. It seems like those top guys haven't lost very many games. So I think you and me are like 3-4.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we wanted to talk a little about, we earlier in the season, we gave a little draft bio for some of the, especially with us being so contentious in the draft, we want to know, obviously, what are our options here. So this week, we kind of plan to talk about VJ Edgecombe, Baylor freshman out of the Bahamas. I don't know. Do you have any initial thoughts as we dive in of him as a player?
I guess for those people or those listeners that know nothing about VJ Edgecombe, I'm just going to read a short bio that I found on this. It's called NBA Draft Room. This is kind of fun.
That'd be great.
And you tell me if this is accurate, because I know you've watched a lot of his highlights, because it could be off. But it says, Edgecombe is an elite-level prospect, a speedy 6'5 guard with broad shoulders, wiry and smooth athleticism, and big-time ability. The way he moves on the court is special. He easily passes the eye test and looks like a future superstar on the court. Edgecombe has a really nice blend of driving ability and shot-making. He's got a smooth release on his jumper and is a developing three-point shooter. His outside shot isn't a strength of his game, but is well on its way to becoming a major weapon for him. He's a force going to the basket, gliding to the hoop, and showing off his hops and hang time. He can get wherever he wants on the court using his first step, good handles, and just being a better athlete than everyone else on the court.
Yeah.
Does that sound accurate to you?
Yep, sounds about right to me. Yeah, he seems kind of like wiry to me, like he's like a, maybe more of a Shea build, kind of, maybe not as good of a shooter, but pretty athletic. He's yammed it on it. He dunked it on Gonzaga's coach's son in a game.
My goodness.
Pretty nasty.
Look, if you haven't seen that highlight, look it up right now. Best dunk in college basketball this season so far.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. Yeah, and he's been having a pretty good, you know, it's hard to look at college stats when we're talking about the NBA because they don't look as good, but he's got good stats. He's got almost 14 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 42.5% from the field percentage. 35% three-point shooter, 80% from the line. Those are pretty good college numbers. I mean, he had 30 against K-State the other night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's, as a freshman, getting used to college basketball. I think we're just going to see more and more from him as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think as long as he doesn't tank his play, he'll be a top 10 pick for sure.
Yeah.
And I also want to say I have some like player comparisons I found on him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Green.
Interesting.
Kind of don't hate it. Very similar in terms of like athleticism.
Yeah.
Victor Oladipo when he was good.
Ooh, okay.
I kind of like that. I think Victor Oladipo might have a little bit better defense, but VJ Edzcombe gets a lot of steals, so you got to be impressed with his defense.
Yeah.
And then my own personal comparison, I think he's got a little bit of Donovan Mitchell in him.
Yeah.
But of course Donovan's more rookie Donovan, right? Because now Donovan's like an amazing three-point shooter, but when he was a rookie, I think that's kind of what VJ Edgecombe is. Very athletic, great first step, pretty good defender, kind of like Donovan Mitchell when he was a rookie, which gets me excited because I think that was my favorite version of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably a much better defender. 2.5 steals a game, I think we mentioned. Crazy good, long guy. We also get to see him twice this week. If you're listening to this, you're probably on the BYU or Utah side of the rivalry. He plays Utah tonight, and then they play BYU on Tuesday. Baylor does. So if you want to get a good look at him, now's your chance. They're playing our boys here. So
yeah, get out your draft scouting hat or your piece of paper while you're watching the game.
Yep.
See, like, should the Jazz get this guy?
Yep.
But I do think I'd be happy if the Jazz ended up with him just off my first impressions.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be a little disappointed if we were not the top three picks, but I would be happy with him. I think it wouldn't be a bad pick. So
yeah, I guess just another hypothetical question. We've done this with some of the other draft prospects we've spotlighted in the past. How well do you think VJ Edgecombe would fit with the Jazz's current roster? How would he help us? What kind of players do you think he'd play well with?
Ooh. Well, I think we're kind of getting to a little bit of a log jam with guards. Like, I kind of feel like we're... Like, it makes me wonder with, like, Keontae and Isaiah Collier. I'm really excited about both of them. How he'd fit, especially if you keep Colin Sexton in there, and if Clarkson's never going to get traded. I mean, he probably will, but it's been forever, so I don't know. It's a little bit of a logjam right now, but I think he's got the skill set that you could match with almost any team. It seems like one that would fit pretty well, I think.
Yeah. I want to say it depends on how well his skill translates to the NBA, because he might get to our team and we'll say, like, you know what? We'd rather have Colin Sexton than him, and so he's going to play from the bench. But assuming him at his like best level, where he is a great player, I think he would slide in great as the starting shooting guard next to either Keontae or Collier or Sexton, whichever one of those guys we end up going with, because we can't keep all of them.
Nope.
And then I think you put some long defenders at the three and the four, and I think we build ourselves a good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think at like a 6'5 frame, I don't think he could be the three. He's just not as long enough. The NBA's getting to the point where you kind of have to be 6'8. So,
yeah, absolutely. Utah Hockey Club had a better week this week. I think they lost last night, but they were on like a 4-game win streak.
Yeah.
21-20-7. We're back in the above 500 column. If that, barely, I guess. So good week for them. Not good week if you hate the name Utah Hockey Club like I do. Not the Jazz. Ryan Smith is having problems with the trademark office. I'm guessing Yeti was the one they were trying to go with. That would be my guess. Sounds like that was too similar to the water bottle company. So.
Which is hilarious to me. But
yeah, it is a little odd.
Were you on Team Yeti? Do you want them to be the Yeti?
I thought Yeti was cool. I thought there was like the most you could do with Yeti, just with mascots. And I thought I was going to be excited. Honestly, I'm just ready for any other name than what we have now. So I'm not really too picky.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, I think you were like your top one was like Mammoth, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah, I like Mammoth a lot.
But I think I'm on Team Blizzard, but I know I might be in the minority with that. But
yeah.
Hey, so I'm not complaining if we don't get Yeti. Maybe we'll get one of those other ones.
That's right. I know a lot of people like Outlaws. I just don't think Outlaws really matches Utah, but I do like the name. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like it's like a Utah name, so I don't know. I wouldn't be too horribly hating that one, but
yeah, I don't know if is this like the topic of conversation in like Utah barbershops, like I don't know about Yeti. Or
yeah,
I feel like that's definitely where this belongs, but
yeah, absolutely.
But we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we get Yeti or at least one of those other ones. But
I hope so. BYU basketball, our boys lost to the Utes this week. Pretty rough. We did get a win though, against
Colorado
this week. Colorado, that's right. So Cody Williams, get wrecked. We destroyed your boys down there. It was a good game. We were up by 20 at one point. We almost blew it, but then we ended up winning by a lot again. So good game.
Yeah, I'm still being impressed by Richie Saunders. I don't know if you saw the Colorado game, but there was like a 5-possession stretch where he got he got a point, 3-yard layup, got a block, got a point, got a steal, got a layup.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 plays in a row, offense to defense, that Richie Saunders like made a play. And I was like, this dude's elite. Like he's like our Derek White of the team. He's like just doing all this great stuff on the court. I love him. He's so fun.
I love Richie so much. It's been cool to see Richie like develop. I remember his freshman year, he had just like I don't know if you remember, but he had a horrible hitch in his shot. Like it was like he'd go up in the air, pause, and then follow through, and you're like, bro, this is so bad. And then last year he kind of turned into just an energy guy for us, and this year he's scoring efficiently, he's playing good defense, he's an energy guy, like just incredible. Richie's a beast.
Can't ask for much more from him. And then Yegor had a pretty good game against Colorado.
Yeah.
Definitely a bounce back for him.
It wasn't bad,
I guess when you were watching the Utah game, could you hear the noise? I could hear like the noise through the TV.
Yeah. And it was like noise the whole game too. Like the BYU fans are making noise, Utah fans are making noise. It was like, this is such a fun rivalry. I love it.
It's crazy. And I also saw like they put up the stat, like we've played like, maybe 100, maybe like 150 times or something like that. It's a crazy amount. I think the BYU has a couple more wins in the history of the rivalry I don't know if it was just counting basketball or other sports, but we've been a little bit ahead. So, but they're catching up, I guess, with this year.
Yeah, that's why it's such a fun rivalry. In basketball, I think BYU's up 7 wins. In football, Utah's up like 7 or 8 wins. We're just like, and that's not really a lot, you know, historically. So, like, with how many times we've played, so it's pretty wild.
No, it was so fun.
That's fun.
And then I guess it's been the college football championship since last time we recorded.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. I think we both wanted Notre Dame. They couldn't do it. But shout out to Ohio State. I feel like I feel like they're the villain, but good job, guys. They won, so.
Yeah, it was looking like they were going to blow out Notre Dame for a while, and they kind of were, but then Notre Dame kind of crawled back in, and it was a good game at the end, but too bad.
Yeah.
Bad, I guess. Yeah. NFL playoffs is getting kind of wild, though. My Ravens lost, unfortunately. My theory, I'm just not a Lamar Jackson guy. I'll just say it again.
No.
I feel like it just like affirms. I just don't think like his style of play leads to wins, and this just proved it this week. I don't know. I hope he changed my mind in the future, but rough week for the Ravens, my Ravens.
But it's crazy just how like he plays so well in the regular season. Like you would think if you didn't watch the playoffs the last few years and you only watched the regular season, you'd say like, dude, Lamar Jackson's like the best player. He probably has won all the Super Bowls, but no, when the playoffs come, it's just like, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, I think his play should lead to winning. I just don't know.
It should.
It just doesn't happen. I don't know why. It's hard to explain. And Of course, yeah. I think you could say this year, like, of course, the Mark Andrews dropped the pass. You could blame it on that. That's true. Could blame it on him fumbling too. The ball was slippery the whole game in the snow. That's true. So I don't know. I don't think it's completely Lamar Jackson this year, but somebody's got to blame. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say, I really do love the Bills Mafia stuff is so cool to me. I don't know if you saw they like donated a bunch of money to Mark Andrews charity, which is a little bit of like a passive aggressive trash talk, but it's also like to charity, so it's like I don't know, I respect that a lot. I think that's pretty cool. So.
It's a good way to talk trash. I'm sure Mark Andrews didn't hate that.
No, yeah. Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, but then just continuing with the games. We got Bills and Chiefs, and we got Commanders and Eagles. Who do you got?
How about them
those?
Commanders, huh? That's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Do you think Jaden Daniels is probably like a top five quarterback this year as a rookie?
Absolutely. Yeah, him and Bo Nix are pretty much top of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
And Bo Nix didn't even do what Jaden Daniels did, so that's pretty wild. I think the run's over for the Commanders, unfortunately. as much as I would love to see them get destroyed by the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be Eagles Chiefs again. My prediction, unfortunately. Yeah. As much as I mean, hate it.
I think if I had to be like, just say what I think is going to happen, I think I agree. Like Eagles Chiefs, it's kind of inevitable. But my fandom and kind of what I'm hoping for, I'm hoping it's Bills Commanders, but it probably won't happen.
That's fair. I think the Bills Chiefs game is going to be, what was it like? Was it like 3 years ago when they did that like overtime game where there was like three scores in the last minute or something? Like it was a couple years. This
one's
always a
classic.
Yeah, I think
it was like two years ago maybe, because last year I think it was Chiefs 49ers for the second time. The year before that, I think it was Chiefs Eagles crazy game. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one's always a classic. Honestly, in my opinion, two best quarterbacks in the NFL going at it.
Jalen Hurts is a little banged up, though. So you take that into account.
That's true. That's true. So we'll see what happens. This can be exciting. I think those are on Sunday, right? Both those games?
Yep.
So. Pretty exciting. And then we got the Pro Bowl and Super Bowl after that. So be wild. Well, thank you for joining us on our episode this week. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've, like we mentioned earlier in the episode, we cast our all-star ballot. We've been talking trades. And so if you want to hear about all of our breakdowns, go check those out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. You can also find us on Instagram. Our links are in our bio there as well. And we hope that you have a great weekend. Peace.